Hello, everyone.
Hello.
You're hearing Benjamin at home in Cardiff and Henry in the coffee area of a French supermarket. Is that right?
That's right. I'm in a Leclerc. I won't specify which one, but it's in central Brittany. It's a sort of mega temple to ham and cheese mainly.
Yeah.
It's a mega French supermarket with an excellent little coffee area that I like to sit in, enjoying my French coffee, which has that wonderful beige scum on it, which you can see in the camera. There's a certain kind of beige scum.
Yeah, I'm sorry to our listeners who aren't seeing this on video, but I can vouch that Henry was pointing at some lovely beige scum.
It's a really rich beige scum, isn't it? Hmm. Anyway, I'm glad to be talking to you. What are we here to talk about?
Well, we're going to put one of our Patreon-only episodes on the normal feed to give normal, un-Patreon people a little taste of the kind of thing we do on Patreon.
That's a lovely idea. Yeah, so it's a little soupçon, a little trailer for the kinds of stuff we get up to.
Well, it's not a trailer, it's a full whack. It's a full whack.
But it's coming to you in a sort of trailer, sort of free trailer format. So it'd be like going to the cinema and getting to see.
Would it be like going to the cinema to see Superman and then playing Jurassic World in full?
That's what's happening. So it's sort of quite inconvenient in a way.
So the one we're going to put up for free is And Then Sparrows Took Their Eyes.
Ah, yes. Well, this is our new format where we discuss, we take a sort of a folkloric tale and sort of read it out and analyse it sort of live.
Yeah.
It was good fun, wasn't it? We did a Grimm's fairy tale called Someone the Hedgehog. Who was it again?
Hans the Hedgehog.
It was Hans the Hedgehog. It's a sort of deeper Grimm's cut. It doesn't make a lot of the Grimm's top tens or the Grimm's Disney adaptations, does it? But it's a good one.
Not yet. No. So, yeah, so I just thought we could record a little introduction, but I'm not really sure what we need to say. Just that this is a little taste of the kind of thing we put on Patreon. If you enjoy it, you can sign up at patreon.com/freebeansalad.
And if you don't, you can very much remain a non-patron listener. And we'd be very delighted for that to happen too.
Would we be delighted by that?
Delighted is overstating it. I think whenever anyone says the word delighted, they're overstating it.
Yes.
I think it's got a lot of red flags as a word, delighted.
So I guess we'll let our listeners listen to this fine Patreon-only episode now. What are your plans? I mean, I'm not on holiday, so I'm just doing normal stuff. What are your plans for the rest of the day?
So I'm going to have some lunch, and then I'm going to explore some Breton dolmens, which is a form of sort of Neolithic rock accumulation. Well, not accumulation, structure.
What, man-made?
Yeah, so it's I think menhirs are the ones that go up and dolmens go across. So there's a famous sort of Neolithic tunnel that is not far from here. I'm going to be exploring this afternoon. And I think you can actually crouch down and sort of enter the tunnel and imagine what it would have been like.
The tunnel will be a kind of portal back into our Neolithic past, right?
I'm assuming either that or back to the supermarket cafe, ideally. It's actually basically nowhere else I'd rather be.
Lovely. Well, enjoy yourself.
Thanks very much.
And I'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon.
And enjoy this Patreon episode. It's called And Then Sparrows Took Their Eyes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new thing we don't have a name for yet, but I'm going to suggest a name.
Oh, yeah, great.
Okay.
So just to explain, this is a kind of format where we read each other a fairy tale or legend.
Or sort of mythic, some sort of mythic tale from the caverns of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Sort of thing.
And I was thinking we could call it, And Then Sparrows Took His Eyes.
I like that a lot, yeah.
But if you have a better idea, we can pump it through this.
No, because I mean that's how they all end, isn't it?
They all do. It's the kind of often it's modern editions take it out and replace it with, and then they lived happily ever after.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But normally in
and then
in the
a
original
really
Larry
academic somewhere like sort of Northumberland or Aberystwyth will reintroduce it.
Yeah.
In a new translation.
In its original, yeah, which should be. And then they lived happily ever after, comma, until a sparrow took their eyes. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes an enchanted sparrow, sometimes just a normal sparrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully support that Larry academic, that scholar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is true, though. We because we live in a Disneyfied, we've had Disneyfied versions of all the fairy tales. And whenever you go back and look at them, there's always a sort of eye plucking moment that's been taken out.
Yeah. I mean, Cinderella, the last scene of Cinderella, is just there's just eyes everywhere. It's just an absolute eye. It's just a barrage of eyes, people plucking out their own eyes, tracking them around, people putting the wrong eyes in their own heads and seeing things from the other person's point of view. It gets really confusing. But the whole floor of the palace is described as 'twas like a soup of eyes. And often that gets cut out of.
And people were sort of, you know, if you cover a floor with loads of marbles and then someone tries to walk on it and they go, whoa.
That
was happening, but with eyes.
That was happening, but with eyes.
And that was absolutely hilarious back in the day. Do you know
what
I mean?
It was a great gag.
In your Dark Forest era of time.
Oh yeah.
But that's because the Disneyfied, they just wanted to use these things as entertainments. They're not entertainments. They're instructional.
They're warnings.
They're warnings. They're propaganda. They're public information and safety.
Yeah.
But also they're your heritage.
They're your heritage.
They're ancient warnings from people that, you know, from your grandfather's grandfathers and their grandmother's grandmothers. Yeah. Obviously, still skipping a generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Each time, isn't it? So it's not your grandmother's mother. No, it's your grandmother's grandmother.
She, don't listen to her.
And also the life expectancy for in-between generations was appalling back then. They'd barely, you know, they'd managed to breed and then they carked it, basically.
Well, almost all of them would have had their sparrows taken by eyes. That's very rare. That kind of happens in some of the more sort of zany, trippier fairy tales.
Yeah.
But and of course the in the original Snow White, the dwarfs of course are eye miners, aren't they? So the caverns that they would be sticking their little axes into were the eye sockets,
the faces of the proletariat.
Faces of the proletariat, and that's why the word face has come to mean both what it originally was, which was a rocky outcrop that would be pummeled away out by masons, and then the thing on the front of your face which would be pummeled away out by dwarfs. Yeah. it's as simple as that. And they give Snow White an eye necklace, don't they? An eyeball necklace held together by human tendon, isn't it?
The eye tendon.
So it's eyes and foot tendons they would take.
Yeah. Mike, you can tell us this. This is a bit of a off-topic thing. But you know in TV or something, someone's eyes will come out and they'll kind of be on stalks.
Yeah.
And it's because...
Ben, this is animation. This is Mike. What the fuck? That's not acting. That doesn't happen in acting. That's animation, mate.
But Mike is a history and medicine. I'm bringing together art and...
Okay, fine. Okay, yeah.
And anatomy. Yeah. So Henry, for example, might draw... Are you happy now?
Yeah. Well, tread carefully.
Okay. There might be, for example, a badger that sees a fox with boobs, drawn by Henry, wearing a bikini.
Yeah, nice idea.
And the eyes come out, wahooga, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And the eyes come out and they're sort of attached on stalks.
Mm. Yeah, steam coming out of the ears, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the nerve, right? What's that called? The optic nerve.
Yeah.
Optic nerve, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, if you did pull your own eyes out in the kind of Oedipus-y, fairy tale kind of way, would they dangle off?
Yes.
Oh.
Because there's a bit of spare in there just for you to do that.
Oh, there's always a bit of slack.
There is a bit of slack.
It's very a bit of spooling.
Yeah.
You know those sort of things you reel up a garden hose with? It's a bit like one of those.
Yeah. Well, if you train your face muscles enough, certain...
You can wahooga, can't you?
You can wahooga them.
If you see a beaver with... What was it? A beaver with boobs? I can't remember what
A fox with boobs is what I was imagining.
A fox with boobs.
Yeah. Which is lovely.
You know what I mean?
That's inspired by... When I went to Germany in Dusseldorf last month, there was a pub I went to that was quite a good pub. Mm-hmm. But as I looked around, I realised that the mascot for the pub, which they'd covered almost every surface with, was a fox with boobs, with human boobs.
It's one of those ones where when you make that kind of decision as an illustrator, you have to think about the logical consequences because then it plays out. So does that mean...
They have to wear bras?
They have to wear bras, but do they wear pantyhose?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like how far does it stretch?
Underwear cohort, are we talking?
Is that exactly. How do the combos work?
But it wasn't just boobs. It was like she was a kind of Fraulein. So she was kind of wearing like Lederhosen-esque business. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mids. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
And was she wearing a bikini top or a?
No, it was more like a very busty kind of
sort of leather.
Yeah, sort of leathery maid's outfit.
Leather and cotton or whatever the material is, that sort of combination of,
I find it a bit uneasy, that sort of sexual anthropomorphization.
Yeah, it was horrible.
As an illustrator, I won't do.
Oh, that's good, because this was whoever did all the illustrations in that pub, and there were lots, should be in prison.
Yeah. I think sexy fox, fine. Sexy human, fine, but not some sort of sexy...
The sexy is pushing too far. I mean, there's making things beautiful. I mean, I think I've spoken about it before, the collie who played the queen in Dog Tanyan and the Musker Hounds. She was very, very beautiful. She was one of my earliest crushes.
Okay, let me find this. Collie in, what was it?
Dog Tanyan and the Musker Hounds, the three Musker Hounds.
Oh, that was really good.
She was just very elegant and I was strongly attracted to her as a very small boy.
Mike, for a long time in my life, I thought that was the original, that the original story was Dog Tanyan and the Musker Hounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I discovered this thing, The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
And for quite a long time, I was like, oh, so it's kind of based on the Dog Tanyan myth. So, but they've humanised... I guess that could work. They've humanised... Yeah, it could be... Yeah, why not? You just DK9 them and put them in... Yeah. Okay. I'm
looking at some pictures now. Mike, has she got blonde hair?
I remember her as blonde.
I was
aware that there was something. I mean, I was confused by it at the time.
I
found her really attractive.
Was she? Is that the Lassie type of collie?
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
Careful.
This podcast is not what we intended it to be. But it's basically become a kind of witch, if you had to.
this was never the plan.
No, it's not about that. But they are lovely.
But she was also, she held herself very well, and she was elegant. She was calm in the face of crisis, whereas her husband, the king, was a hopeless sort of tosser. So, I mean, there was a bit of literal underdog, even though she's a queen.
You know what you're doing, Mike? You're describing her the way a Tory MP describes a beautiful woman, which is she's very elegant, very, very calm, and had... You didn't use the word.
Is that what they like?
But great poise.
Poise.
Yeah.
And she had a lovely, 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 lovely... If you look at the... Are you looking at the picture now?
But yeah.
Absolutely lovely, full V-shaped beard.
And that's attractive across species, across genders.
And across time as well.
Across time. The full and V-shaped beard.
It's the only beauty standard that stands up at any point in history, going back to prehistory.
Any cultural milieu you want. All I can get is pictures of real sexy collies. I'm not getting animated sexy collies. But they are lovely, lovely things, aren't they? That kind of collie. Is that because that's different from the black and white
border
farm
collie? Black and white,
yeah, border collie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what kind of collie is that, Mike?
Is it a sheepdog? I mean, I couldn't tell you.
I think it's a sexy collie, isn't
it? It's a sexy collie.
Yeah. And if you break with a sexy collie with a
pig,
If you breed a sexy collie with a pig.
With a macho pig, are we talking? Or with a...
No, if you breed a sexy collie with a macho pig, once in a generation, you'll get Miss Piggy. But you get a lot of absolutely monstrous canine pigs and porcine dogs.
And they have to go straight to the basement. They can never see the light.
It is a numbers game. Just if you are, it's not one and done.
But
no.
And you'll have to feed them all they'll eat. Is the pre-macerated innards of uncooked supermarket frankfurters. So you'll have to get used to...
Which is also what they will become, eventually.
Eventually they'll become.
From an illustrator's point of view, Henry, I always think there's a lovely bit in one of the more modern Muppets films.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a song where they imagine... she imagines her... She's getting married to Kermit, and she's imagining her future, and she imagines them having kids. Which is a great sort of question
they
for
do.
Them. Yeah.
But again, it's one of those, yeah.
and they just do tiny little pink frogs and tiny little green pigs.
Okay, so that's a nice... but of course... So when did this come out, this film?
Probably 10 years ago.
So of course, but there'll be lots of children that went home and tried to make that happen with their their pets and on farms, and those monstrosities will now be 10 years old, won't they? The actual ones that were bred,
And they'd have learnt quite a bit. They'd have learnt how to survive.
The hard way. I mean, a fully aquatic pig is one of the Ministry of Defence's top five, isn't it?
Top five priorities. And that's bipartisan, isn't it? That's one of the few long-term plans that we've actually been able to focus on in this country.
It's that and the Eurofighter, isn't it?
Well, the aquatic pig could be the first mobile army that can also be a food.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't have to supply, because supplying an army... Napoleon.
Think of your convoy ships. Do you know what I mean? In a time of war, so easy to pick off, so easy to spot from the air, from the sea.
Yeah.
But if you've got a herd of aquatic pigs, moving across, you know, it's a bit like a sort of a big sort of sponsored triathlon or something. The waves are roiling with pigs. Pigs are going to get through, aren't they?
Yeah. And also, they're incredibly intelligent. I mean, they're about 10% as intelligent as a monkey. So it's actually
one of the smaller monkeys.
one of your hand monkeys.
Yeah. You want it slightly sub-average macaque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or any of the bonsai gibbons.
Okay. So Henry, what folkloric tale are you going to tell us today?
Well, my one, I think, is actually quite apposite because we were talking, weren't we, a minute ago about, you were talking about the anthropomorphization of a fox on a German logo.
Yeah.
My tale also involves a sort of semi-anthropomorphoid creature that's half human, half animal, which, of course, is a staple of myths.
Yeah.
Isn't it around the world? Mm-hmm. It's half human, half animals, and triangular beards being sexy.
But it's always human boobs, isn't it?
Always human boobs.
It's never udders on a human, for example.
Or it's never, she was a beautiful maiden with lovely, lovely squirrel tits. Eight of them in a row. That doesn't happen.
The straightest udder line I've ever seen.
So my one is, I've been reading the Grimm's fairy tales.
Yeah.
And I've been reading them for quite a while. I really like to read them in bed. Mm-hmm. It helps me go to sleep. I guess it reverts me to some sort of child state.
Well, it was you telling
good stuff though.
It was you telling me this that gave us me the idea for this thing. So you've been reading them a lot recently.
I've never really got properly into them, and there are hundreds of them. And I've been reading it for ages. I'm only halfway through, but I find them very soothing. They get me off to sleep. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I read them, they get me back off to sleep really well. There's something about the kind of odd logic that they have, where one thing sort of follows another, but two things ago doesn't follow at all. You know what I mean? Things just sort of, the dominoes go down.
There are very few of them that would have got through your average kind of like... What's it called?
Well, they've not been writers roomed, have they?
Kill the cat.
They wouldn't get a script doctoring. Would absolutely
the way of doing a Marvel action movie or whatever it is. Yeah, no way.
Because quite often by the end of the tale, you're nowhere near. It's got nothing to do with where you started at all. And you go back. And actually, what's quite odd about them is if you come back to one halfway through, you know the way you do when you read a book. If you come back to it, you go back a bit to remind yourself. You go back and say, "What the hell is going on?" And you basically have to reread it from the beginning every time. You can't pick up the thread because you'll be reading the thread and it's about like a bishop who's like running up a hill. And two pages ago, it's about a squirrel who's falling down a well. And then three pages before that, it's about like a guy going off to seek his fortune. But because people are changing identities.
And read and those and think, I can't wait to see how these things dovetail together. At the
end.
They think that at your peril.
Absolutely don't.
It's a path to madness. Yeah. It's not
because the birds that peck out people's eyes at the end haven't been there at the beginning.
They've moved on to the next fairy tale. They're picking out in the next baron.
Do you know anything about the Brothers Grimm? Because I don't know.
Do you? Not very much. All I know is that they were interested in just collecting German folklore.
Didn't they physically walk about the place and interview people?
They talked to lots and lots of people. So they would talk to...
They just wrote down stuff that hadn't been written down, basically, before.
And they talked like the storyteller person of the area or of the village or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of the tales are credited if you look into the bibliography.
Didn't get a single royalty. Did they credit them? Did they put down the...
Well, I think in the bibliographies, or certainly if you Google them, actually, I don't know if it's in the book, you can find information that this tale was...
And that's what they used to say, wasn't it, back in the 1800s? They'd be like, just Google it, guys. Yeah. Just Google it and you'll find out.
Just Google it.
It's our work, really.
Yeah.
We did all the work.
Yeah, just quickly. Steve. Yes, Brian?
Stephen Brian Grimm.
Stephen Brian Grimm. Yes. They want royalties. What do we do? Say, make up a word. We will Google, yes. Google. Bye. And then eventually, there was so much pressure... Google started from that, did it?
They invented the internet, the brothers.
They invented the internet.
Yeah.
But also the tales are kind of categorized by, this is a type 449. This is a type 4B32.
Oh, really?
Someone's done some sort of like, genealogy of how they all sort of like influence each other.
Or it happened
later. I didn't know if it's them or other people, that there are types of tale that are clumped together. There are tales where people's hands turn into fish, or whatever. And but... This might be total bollocks, but I think it was something to do with, because I guess it was pre-Germany existing, but there was lots of German, it was about sort of German identity or Germanic something, I think, they were interested in, that there was a kind of united identity in all these tales that would help define Germanness, maybe.
Okay.
I think it might have been to do with that.
So what is the name of the tale you'll be telling?
It's Hans the Hedgehog.
incredible that hasn't been Disneyfied.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear it. But the other one that was a close second was of course Donkey Cabbages.
Well, we can save that for a future.
We can
episode,
save that for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's right to credit the source of the book. Yep. I'm saying that because Ben said that to me a second ago. Full disclosure. Personally, I actually don't think it's right to... Well, I just don't care, personally.
You're essentially making an illegal audiobook.
Mm.
And it's crime doesn't get any sexier than the black market audiobooks world. It's utterly ruthless and utterly thrilling. So anyway, picture yourselves. So I want to get that kind of round the fire feel. Mm-hmm. So picture yourself in an old, it's a drafty cabin.
Okay.
But it's a warm, weirdly, it's a warm draft.
Nice.
Okay. We don't get a lot of warm drafts. Normally that means there's quite a serious fire directly outside.
It's a volcano.
Yeah. Normally it's evacuation time.
Yeah, it's definitely not fairy tale time. It's not a go-to-bed story time.
It's forget your personal belongings.
It could be you're about to die of carbon monoxide poisoning as well, possibly. Might be one of the last feelings you feel in that situation. That's funny. It's a warm breeze. Oh, that's funny. I can't move my body, your face.
Are we talking Bavarian hillside?
So we're talking a Bavarian hillside.
Yeah.
An old man has invited you into a little shack, but he's fine. He's completely fine.
Yeah.
He's already given you Riddles 3. Which you've somehow passed.
Yeah. And inappropriate nuzzles, zilch.
Oh, nuzzles? What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, he's not inappropriately touching anyone.
Background check.
He's been fully
he's
background
fully DBS checked.
By nuzzles, the private eye.
By Steve Nuzzles, the private eye. Yeah. No, he's been completely...
deep DBS.
He's been DBS'd. Yeah. He's got his driving license. He's got that on him.
Biometrics check out.
Mm-hmm. And he's also only wearing a very, 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 very tiny pair of pants, so he can't be hiding anything.
And he's not wearing a wire.
He's definitely not wearing a wire. Anyway, so he invites you into his little shack to tell you, Tales 3. Okay. But what be the first tale of the three? It be the tale of Hans the Hedgehog, which I'll be reading to you So again, picture that you're in a little cabin. Ooh, ooh. The man makes weird noises when he turns around. It's just an eccentric thing.
He's got chronic pain.
He's got all this. partly because, well, 2 years ago, and it's fine for you to know this, he had his penis pecked off by sparrows, didn't he? and they didn't do a clean job,
which is why, yeah, he rues the day he said anything but my eyes. And
he should have said anything but my eyes, with one exception. But if, since that day, he eases his pain by telling tales to weary travellers like you. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, picture yourself in a sort of, in the dark caverns of the medieval past, dark Europe, and, you know, a simpler time of wagon wheels and wagons, sheep, same as today, but more of them. Or at least more of them in your close friend network. Anyway, but I'll be reading this from a digireads.com book. And that is, I think, a part of a company that's called digireads.com Publishing.
Oh, it's so magical, isn't it?
Most of their profits from gambling, liquor.
And identity theft. We don't need to trouble the reader, the audience, with the ISBN numbers, do we, Ben?
Is there an author?
What, Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm? Is that good enough for you?
Okay.
So it's the complete Grimm story. So let's go. I've got to go through. So I've got to go through the
preface by Michael Palin.
Yes, but it's Palin with two N's, and Michael with two H's.
He gets about. I know exactly the guy you mean.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
booked him for my 40th.
He takes a lot of Michael Palin's work, doesn't he? Yeah. Oh, sorry, mate. Didn't you realise? I thought I explained. I was Michael Palin. Sorry, mate.
He's opened a lot of supermarkets.
Anyway, come on. So, some of the I'm just going through the contents on my Kindle. There's some quite good names of other tales come up. The Three Spinning Women. These are all ones we can do another day. The Valiant Little Tailor.
Yeah, a lot of them would make great pub names as well.
Yes, that's true. The Seven Ravens. The Singing Bone. I think you'd want a few before you went there. You'd want to be a few down. Sorry, these Kindles, they are very good, but...
Henry is using, by the way, dear listener, what is happening is Henry is using an old showbiz trick called playing for time.
Playing for time.
He's lost control.
Completely lost control. I don't know what's going on. There's quite a good, we won't be hearing today, The Girl Without Hands.
Thank you.
Ah, here we are, Hans the Hedgehog. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Let's do it. There once was a countryman who had money and land in plenty. But how rich soever he was, one thing was still wanting in his happiness. He had no children. Often, when he went into the town with the other peasants, they mocked him and asked him why he had no children. At last he became angry, and when he got home he said, "I will have a child, even if it be a hedgehog." Always a bad thing to say in a fairy tale context. Any of that sort of rhetorical stuff will just happen. Sometimes I wish my legs were made of cheese. No. You never do, never say that kind of thing.
Just keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's very weird rhetoric to reach for hedgehog.
Yeah. I know. Then his wife had a child that was a hedgehog in the upper part of his body and a boy in the lower. And when she saw the child, she was terrified.
Tricky labour?
they don't cover that, but...
As long as there's not breach, I think. You've got to make sure the spikes are facing the right way, basically. Yeah. Let's not think about barbs and let's move on.
Yeah.
The screeching was heard around the whole world. From East Bavaria to West Bavaria. When she saw the child, she was terrified and said, "See, "There thou hast brought ill luck on us." Then said the man, "What can be done now? The boy must be christened, but we shall not be able to get a godfather for him."
Hmm. Yeah, is that the major problem?
Is that the major problem right there? Semi-porcupinoid child? Oh, but who's going to give him a present? Who's going to sometimes remember to give him a present?
Who's going to usually forget?
Who's going to usually forget?
Birthdays and Christmas, and then probably once every year, every third year, overdo it because they have forgotten for the last 3 years and send a six-year-old 100 quid.
Yeah.
But in euros.
And then decide that the whole thing doesn't really make sense anymore after the age of 14 anyway.
But then come in hard at 17 by sending like some Teletubby figures or something, just totally confused.
Totally getting it wrong. Yeah. Forgetting name, gender, age. Hobbies, interests.
Whether they're half a hedgehog.
Mind you, I tell you what, it's tough enough. To be fair, I think they're right to not get a godfather, because I'm a godfather. I find it bloody hard work.
Same. I'm a bad one as well.
Yeah.
Inexcusably bad. I've got nice godchildren as well. I mean, it's not their fault. Christ.
One thing that my brother does when he godfathers, a bit of a life hack for godfathering, is because he's one of those unfortunate people that a lot of people like. He's been made godfather by so many people.
Yeah.
But what he does is he, for birthdays... I think he puts some money into a little, the present goes into a little fund or something, which then they get when they're 18 or something. So essentially, instead of birthdays and Christmas, having to think, do the admin.
It's direct debit time.
It's DD time. And so it becomes just, it's a purely sort of backs digi.
But that is good though, because I think when you hit 18, if there's a little pot of cash, I mean, what's not to like?
And then what happens is at the age of 18, your godson or daughter can afford enough cigarettes to actually get properly addicted within a bit of about 6 months. Then you've really made an impact. Right. The woman said, so the father said the issue about the godfather.
Yeah.
And the woman said, "And we cannot call him anything else but Hans the Hedgehog."
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, also it's a bit harsh because he's only half hedgehog, isn't it?
Yeah,
he should be Hans the Hemi Hedgehog.
Hans the Hemi Hedgehog. When he was christened, the parson said, "He cannot go into any ordinary bed because of his spikes." So a little straw.
Fuck, wind your neck in, parson.
Wind your fucking neck in, parson.
It's not your remit. Not your, it's got absolutely fuck all to do with you.
You've already had a bit of the chicken named after your nose. Is that not enough? Stop getting into people's business. Also, what is a parson? Because I tell you what, hundreds of years from now, someone called Henry Packer won't know. They'll know it's something to do with... Because there's parson, priest, vicar, monk, clergyman.
Yeah.
There's so many of similar-ish things.
Dean.
Curate.
Dean, curate, preacher.
Bishop, archbishop.
Bishop, archbishop.
Sleet bishop, yeah.
What the hell is a parson?
Chaplain.
There's so many of them.
Chaplain at least makes some sense, doesn't it?
But Pope. Parson.
Pope.
Mega Pope.
Mega Pope.
The only one.
So the parson's doing that, yeah. Well, it's that thing, people always give you advice on your parenting, don't they, Mike, I suppose. Is that right? People like...
They love it. Yeah. Well, not most people, but it's a minority of people, but that minority, they really, they love it, so they can feel like a majority, because they're active.
Our Barry's spikes fell off when he was only two, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He's very special.
It doesn't make any difference to Hans whatsoever. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry. Barry's just a very, very, very special hemihog. So a little straw was put behind the stove, and Hans the Hedgehog was laid on it. His mother could not suckle him. I mean, we don't need the next sentence, but for he would have pricked her with his quills.
I think that's unfair. I mean, we all know the quills of a hedgehog don't go forwards from the snout. Otherwise, how's it going to eat?
That's a very good point, Mike. I didn't notice that.
And how's a hedgehog going to suckle from its own mother? She definitely could have sucked.
Definitely could have suckled him.
Yeah, definitely.
Might she just have been viscerally disgusted by...
It's possible, yes.
Let's face it.
Listen, I don't want to be judgmental. It can be a difficult time. People can get depression, psychosis. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sure, if your child is a heavy hedgehog and you've not been briefed about it, Does the health visitor understand what to do about it? I mean, you know,
yeah,
there may not have been the support. It's a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I apologize.
But of course, he is only hedgehog from the, where's he, which bit of him?
Waist up. Hemi. Okay. Yeah, very much in the hemi-sected plane.
In the hemi, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so he lay there behind the stove for 8 years.
It's a long time, isn't it? Also, we don't know if they clothed the bottom half. He does have...
Well, the thing about these fairy tales is they leave out a lot.
Mm.
And you don't really get any sort of back... You don't get any information that isn't, like, just pushing the story on, I find. Because everything else has been... All the fat has come off the story through the passage of time. It's kind of evolved a bit to become just what it needs to be to make its completely, utterly bonkers point.
Okay, good.
But so things like that, you just don't know.
Fine.
Don't know. But 8 years have passed and nothing crucial to the
great.
You know.
Okay.
The tale has happened in 8 years. But obviously the box set or the novelization or whatever would go into like what were his school days like?
Mm. Yeah.
Did he get bullied? Anyway. So he lay there behind the stove for 8 years and his father was tired of him and thought, if he would but die. He did not die, however, but remained lying there. Now, it happened that there was a fair in the town, and the peasant was about to go to it, and asked his wife what he should bring back with him for her. A little meat and a couple of white rolls, which are wanted for the house.
Push the boat out a bit, like, come on, it's mince sandwiches tonight.
It's no fibre again tonight. Yeah, they're very, very fibre-like, these tales.
Yeah, everyone's quite blocked up.
Yeah. So then he asked the servant, and she wanted a pair of slippers and some stockings with clocks.
Clocks?
The other thing is very weird details come through that have stuck, that stick in these tales. Mm. I don't know why, but that's... She wants stockings with clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels like quite a modern thing. It feels like some sort of hipster in East London would have.
Or kind of a West Coast 80s hip-hop kind of thing.
What do you mean? Like a huge clock hanging, like an actual clock?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, I thought we meant a clock design, but maybe it means actual little clocks hanging off it.
Well, I don't know.
Who knows?
That's the thing.
All right. At last, he said, and what will thou have, Hans, my hedgehog? Dear father, he said, do bring me, now.
A Gillette Mac 3.
Loads of little chunks of pineapple and cheese. So I'm going to offer, and this is a real offer, £5,000 to either of you. But I want to see your hands. There's no Googling. I want to see your hands.
Yeah.
£5,000 to the bean that can guess what he wants. Dear father, he said, do bring me
17 geese.
No!
Pay up, Henry. It's backs time.
Oh, God. Mike? I'll give you a clue if you want. It's an object.
Flute made of the finest silks.
Fuck, you're actually good. Not a million miles off. It is a woodwind instrument, kind of.
What?
Yeah. His dear father, he said, do bring me bagpipes.
Mike's weirdly close.
Mike, that is weirdly
close. That is a flute made of fabric.
That is a fabric. Oh, my God. This could have been in the courts for years. This would have been such a difficult case. I'd have had to have got the OJ people.
Why are you putting it in the past tense, Henry?
What?
Why are you saying it would have been?
It's coming up, mate.
It's coming up. Time to ring Johnny Cochran.
You'll wish you'll shell out that £5,000 by the time I'm finished with you.
Oh, no.
Would it have been so simple?
Bagpipes. When therefore the father came home again, he gave his wife what he'd bought for her, meat and white rolls.
Mm.
And then he gave... And by the way, this is another thing which happens in fairy tales for some reason. There's lots of repetition. So I said that everything's been cut off that isn't necessary, but there's also lots of repetition, and somehow both those things are true. Meat and white rolls.
Mm.
And then he gave the maid the slippers and the stockings with clocks. And lastly, he went behind the stove and gave Hans the Hedgehog the bagpipes. And when Hans the Hedgehog had the bagpipes, he said, "Dear father, do go to the forge and get the cock shod, and then I will ride away and never come back again."
What's the cock shod?
He means get the cock shod, as in get some.
Oh, nail some shoes onto a chicken.
Yes.
Terrific. Yeah.
And again, in a more sort of realistic way, this would need a bit of back and forth in the conversation of like, why do you want the cock? How am I going to shod a cock? No one's ever shod a cock.
Are we going to get the conversation between the farmer and the blacksmith who's like, "Oh, mate, what?
What? Hang on.
Fair's in. I've specifically got the day off today. And you want me to do what?
What?
I can't."
I've got.
That was really dangerous for the cock, mate.
I've got a sore throat, which is incurable and is going to kill me. I mean, life's hard enough.
Just get it done. Let me go home and eat my meat and white rolls, please.
So I can then get started on my 3-hour excruciating dump. I do every night.
You've got to fill the evenings. Those evenings are hard to fill at that time.
True.
You know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. But a glacial paste turd.
And glacial in consistency as well.
Glacial in almost every way. But very, 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 very hot. Very, very painfully hot glacier. Passing through the valley of Uranus.
Leaving it never the same.
Never the same again.
Cleaving a valley.
So on this, the father was delighted to think that he was going to get rid of him and had the cock shod for him. And when it was done, Hans the Hedgehog got on it and rode away, but took two things with him. £20,000.
The entire pension fund concealed in the backpacks.
Okay, so what does he take with him? Two things.
So it's two things. It's something and something.
Are they things that have been referenced already?
No.
No.
Of course, because that's the way it goes. So, yeah. Okay.
Is it his father's hat and his mother's dress?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, clever, 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 clever sausage, but no.
The candle's wick. And the spoon.
No! You've cleared him out.
So will we be able to combine them into one court case? We're going to go to two separate court cases.
They'll be working.
That run
they'll
concurrently.
Be going in parallel. Yeah, yeah.
He took with him swine and asses.
Oh,
so pigs and pigs and donkeys. Does that mean?
Mm. Yeah,
pigs
yeah.
and donkeys with him. Which
why
he
are you riding a pig then?
Yeah.
Great question. And it's much easier to shod a pig, surely.
Yeah.
Or an ass. I mean, an ass is basically a thing to get around on, isn't it?
It's like a Bavarian car.
That's the right time. Sort of...
It's basically a Bavarian Hyundai. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Which he intended to keep in the forest. So he's going to sort of keep them. When they got there, he made the cock fly onto a high tree with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there he sat for many a long year and watched his asses and swine until the herd was quite large.
The horrible hybrid was created.
Of the swass. The Bavarian swass.
The Bavarian swass. My pretties, dance. Dance, your horrible, lolloping, weird dance.
Lollop for me. Lollop for me.
Lollop again. I know I am a monster. But lollop. It's basically the Andrew Lloyd Webber story.
Yeah, exactly.
Make the march for me, General Cock.
So, his father knew nothing about. So while he was sitting in the tree, however, he played his bagpipes and made music, which was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is the most unbelievable part of the story so far. Yeah. They're quite like bagpipes.
You think he'd have punctured the bag?
No, I just think
under
bagpipes,
his prickly arms.
Bagpipes can don't always sound great, but they do when they're played well.
It can be rousing.
It can be rousing. Amazing Grace on bagpipes still brings a tear to my eye. So while he was sitting in the tree, he played his bagpipes and made music, which was very beautiful. Once a king came travelling by, because it's basically there's only kings and peasants.
Yeah.
Was it us having this conversation or somewhere I read this about how there's no middle class in fairy tales?
Right.
You're a king or a peasant.
Hmm.
Oh, so you're a prince or you're a pauper. You know, you tend to, certainly most of them, you know, you're a poor person who then suddenly becomes a king or gets to
be
a prince.
You do get artisanal types, don't you?
There's the occasional artisanal type, but... Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of kings wandering about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of castles that just have a king in them. And is that because...
Or a beast.
Or a beast. Or a combo. Is that because it's a sort of series of, like, kingdom states that aren't
there's
really...
lots of fiefdoms.
Lots of, yeah. It's that sort of thing. I almost knew something just then.
Mm-hmm. It was good enough, I thought.
But didn't fully. A king came travelling by who'd lost his way and heard the music. He was astonished at it and sent his servant forth to look all round and see from whence this music came.
Mm-hmm.
He spied about, but saw nothing but a little animal sitting up aloft on the tree, which looked like a cock with a hedgehog on it, which made this music. Can I say... I'm one step ahead of the narrative. I'm pretty sure I know who that is. Then the king told the servant he was to ask why he sat there and if he knew the road which led to his kingdom. So Hans the Hedgehog descended from the tree and said he would show the way if the king would write a bond and promise him whatever he met first in the royal courtyard as soon as he arrived at home.
Weird wages.
Yeah. But it's always...
Don't make the deal.
Give me the thing when you first meet when you go home.
Yeah.
And this has happened in loads of the tales. And quite often, which I think Pam wouldn't like, sometimes the person goes, oh, that's fine. It'll just be my dog. So it means they're sort of finally giving away the dog. And then you go home, it's always your favourite daughter comes out to greet you. And you're going, damn. So essentially, he's made a wager. He's giving him the route home in return for the first thing he meets when he arrives home. Then the king thought, I can easily do that. Hans the Hedgehog understands nothing, and I can write what I like. So he thinks the Hans Hedgehog won't be able to read the... immediately calling him Hans the Hedgehog as well. He's fine with it. I've got the measure of Hans the Hedgehog, I think. I just met a bloke that's half hedgehog that lives fucking sits on a chicken with shoes. Up a tree playing bagpipes with a sort of a set of deformed semi-porcelain, semi-donkey sort of chorus girls.
I wonder if I stop and have some sugar.
It's taking it all very lightly. So the king took his pen and ink.
Sorry, I'm confused. Why does the king think that Hans is an idiot? Why is he writing something down? Sorry to have missed something.
So essentially, Hans the Hedgehog is saying, I'll give you the directions home in return for a bond, essentially a written promise.
Oh, I see. A written promise, I see.
That you will give me the first thing you see when you get back.
But he's going, I'll just write any old bollocks.
Because Hans the Hedgehog, if I know Hans the Hedgehog, I know that he won't be able to read. I think maybe because he's half hedgehog, he's assuming that, I mean, that's all he's got to go on. Either that or just because he's called
Hans reads with his bottom half.
Yeah. So unless he can do penis braille, I'm going to be fine. So the king took the pen and ink and wrote something, and when he'd done it, Hans the Hedgehog showed him the way and got safely home.
Mm.
But his daughter, when she saw him from afar, was so overjoyed that she ran to meet him and kissed him.
Then
he remembered Hans the Hedgehog. I mean, if I'd been a half-hedgehog child, I'd have been thinking about him all the way home, I'm pretty sure. Oh, hang on a minute. That written wager I made with the semi-hedgehog cock rider. And told her what happened and that he had been forced to promise whatsoever first met him when he got home to a very strange animal which sat on a cock as if it were a horse and made beautiful music. But instead of writing that he should have what he wanted, he'd written that he should not have it. Thereupon the princess was glad and said he'd done well, for she never would have gone away with the hedgehog. Hans the Hedgehog, however, looked after his asses and pigs and was always merry and sat on the tree and played his bagpipes. Now it came to pass that another king came journeying by.
Here we go.
With his attendants and runners. Again, very similar things happen a couple of times in a row, quite often.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be a bit like sort of in EastEnders or whatever. If like Phil comes in and goes, can I have some diesel, please, to the garage or whatever?
Yeah.
They give it to him and he goes off. And then Grant comes in and goes, can I have some diesel, please? And goes off.
That is kind of what happens in a petrol station, though, isn't it? You're just describing a...
Are you just inserting the Mitchell brothers into a pretty difficult show garage?
Yeah.
Which is EastEnders.
Which is EastEnders, basically.
All right. It'd be more like if Phil Mitchell came in riding on a chicken as if it was a horse, asked to fill it with diesel, and then Grant Mitchell did the same. Then you'd start being like, hang on.
Yeah. And I think EastEnders would actually finally then get a global audience and become the biggest TV show ever made since Mr. Bean. Now it came to pass that another king came journeying by with his attendants and his runners. And he'd also lost his way. But it'd be like at the end of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then...
A research group from the Sorbonne came along. A different university group of archaeologists.
And then they tried to find the little stone face that was in a thing, and then the rock things, and then, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Getting lost is quite a big thing in fairy tales.
Yes.
And I think it's because...
from the path.
Yeah, like in the modern day, it's actually quite hard to get lost properly. Mm. But back then, I think everything was like forested and you'd get lost on a daily basis and it'd be actually really horrible.
Mm. Yes, that's true.
Thick, high forests.
Yeah.
Because it's even maps, let alone Google Maps.
It's just horror. Absolute horror.
God, that's a very good point. Yeah. It's been terrifying. Because also in the current day, it would be Hans Hedgehog would go, basically the king would be able to call his daughter in advance. Go, can you just bring out that half a red onion in the fridge?
Just throw that at me from supplements. Draw a face on it.
I have to meet it though. Is that meeting or is that getting hit by a red onion? What does it take to meet a red onion?
To truly meet it on its level. To truly understand.
Can you send out Sir Faradvorn the twat to meet me when I get... Because we have been trying to get rid of him for years. And you just can't sack people these days.
Can't sack people these days. Okay, so another king came along. He'd lost his way, and he did not know how to get home again because the forest was so large. He likewise heard the beautiful music from a distance and asked his runner what could be, and told him to go and see. Then the runner went under the tree and saw the cock sitting at the top of it, and Hans the Hedgehog on the cock. The runner asked him, what was he about up there? I'm keeping my asses and my pigs. But what is your desire? The messenger said that they'd lost their way and could not get back into their own kingdom and asked if he would not show them the way. Hans the Hedgehog got down the tree with the cock and told the aged king that he would show him the way if he would give him for his own whatever first met him in front of his royal palace. The king said yes and wrote a promise to Hans the Hedgehog that he should have done this. That done, in the era of box sets and sort of Netflix series, it doesn't wash anymore, this kind of narrative. You can't have episode two can't be the same as episode one.
It's a filler episode, and there's going to be a fearsome backlash, and studio execs are going to be talking about it for years.
Yeah.
Why Hans the Hedgehog got cancelled. And
I don't care how much Jesse Plemons is in this.
Yeah.
It's getting cancelled.
He wrote, so the king said, yes, wrote a promise to Hans the Hedgehog that he should have this.
Mm.
That done, but he hasn't done the thing of writing something different.
No, fair play.
Yeah. That done, Hans rode on before him on the cock and pointed out the way, and the king reached his kingdom again in safety. When he got to the courtyard, there was great rejoicing. Now, he had only one daughter who was very beautiful. She ran out to meet him and threw her arms around his neck and was delighted to have her old father back again. She asked him where in the world he'd been so long, so he told her how he'd lost his way and had very nearly not come back at all. But that as he was travelling through a great forest, a creature half hedgehog, half man, who was sitting astride a cock in a high tree and making music, had shown him the way and helped him to get out, so explaining this to his daughter. But in return, he promised him whatsoever first met him in the royal courtyard, and how that was she herself, which made him unhappy now. But on this, she promised that for love of her father, she would willingly go with Hans if he came. So...
She's a real team player, this one, isn't she?
Well, they're respecting a bond... is what they're doing, which I think is probably central to what this story is about. They're respecting a bond, a written agreement. Essentially, it's before check guarantee cards.
Yes.
You had these tales, I suppose, to make sure people
You had daughters.
You had daughters, yeah.
Before those three little numbers on the back of your credit card.
Yeah, before those.
This.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Daughters, the traditional financial security.
The old-fashioned way. Yeah. Thanks, Carol.
Taking the hit for the poor decisions of fathers for generations.
Since 1125.
Curse you, Carol. Hans the Hedgehog, however, took care of his pigs, and the pigs multiplied until they became so many in number that the whole forest was filled with them. Then Hans the Hedgehog resolved not to live in the forest any longer and sent word to his father to have every sty in the village emptied, for he was coming with such a great herd that all might kill who wished to do so. So that's like going to be a lovely mass slaughter scene, isn't it? Everyone in the village can literally slaughter any of his swine. It doesn't get better than that.
It's like a sort of supermarket sweep.
But supermarket sweep.
An abattoir.
Of blood.
Yeah, or, sort of, or it's like the song It's Raining Men. But for pork. It's a sort of, it's a kind of bovine flood.
Wow. Not porcine.
Sorry, it's a porcine flood.
Hang on. Is the king's daughter now living with him in the forest, or
no? The deal was that should he come,
well, she would spotted go with him. Mike. Well done,
Ah, so should he go to the kingdom?
Should he come to claim her?
Yeah. Well spotted. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. When his father heard that, he was troubled, for he thought Hans the Hedgehog had died long ago.
He doesn't come out well.
Doesn't come out well at all. The father, Hans the Hedgehog. However, I feel like we could call him Hans now. I'm not going to forget his name. And there isn't anyone else called Hans in the story.
Well, this is where you turn the page and there's immediately another Hans.
Yeah. All of the pigs were called Hans.
Hans the Hedgehog, however, seated himself on the cock and drove the pigs before him into the village and ordered the slaughter to begin. Ha! But there was a killing and a chopping that might have been heard 2 miles off.
Oh, God.
That's got an exclamation mark on it. I think everyone sitting around the fire enjoys that moment together.
And if we needed someone to give voice to that sound, we are with Britain's foremost hog impersonator.
Oh, my God. As luck would have it.
Just have to layer it over 200 times. Yeah. Within the village, there's going to be people of all ages. That is going to be someone's first memory that day.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
The mass slaughtering of... Yeah. And, of course, life will just never be as good again. They'll just never be able to live up to that moment. It'll be a very melancholy life, won't it? Of course, this story is also the origin of the phenomenon known as FOMAMPS, isn't it? FOMAMPS, which is, of course, the fear of missing out on a massive pig slaughtering. For anyone that wasn't there that day. A really nasty case of FOMAMPS. Okay. There was a killing and... but there was a killing and a chopping. After this, Hans the Hedgehog said, "Father, let me have the cock shod once more at the forge, and then I will ride away and never come back as long as I live."
He's made that promise before.
Yeah, that's true. Then the father had the cock shod once more and was pleased that Hans the Hedgehog would never return again. So the cock's been reshod.
He's not winning Dad of the Year, this guy.
He's really not.
No. Take his world's best dad mug off him.
Yeah.
Kill a pig with it.
Yep. kill one of the stragglers with it. Hans the Hedgehog rode away to the first kingdom. There, the king had commanded that whosoever came mounted on a cock and had bagpipes with him should be shot at.
I think that would be taken as implicit anyway, frankly. If I was a castle battlement sentry, I saw that coming, I'd pop a few off anyway.
You would pop a few off, wouldn't you?
Whether that's SOP or not, you know.
It's so bleak. It's very, very bleak, the story.
Yeah.
So it's a bit sort of like Succession or something, where no one's very nice. But you sort of root for Hans the Hedgehog.
You find yourself rooting for it, yeah.
You do find yourself rooting for Hans the Hedgehog, probably. Yeah. Probably the least of the dicks. Now, Hans the Hedgehog, to be fair, has been perfect. Well, apart from he very much encouraged the mass slaughtering, didn't he?
Yeah, and he has made quite, problematic deals with kings that he knew would cause problems.
Yes, that's true. And also shotting a cockerel probably isn't very...
It's not on.
Not on, is it? Yes, so there the king had commanded that whosoever came mounted on a cock and had bagpipes with him should be shot at, cut down, or stabbed by everyone.
Man, woman, and child.
So In a way, it's quite free because you can shoot, cut him down, or stab him. But it's quite prescriptive because everyone has to be involved. Yes. But you can do it your own way, kind of thing, as long as you're involved.
Yeah.
So that he might not end up.
The people we've been talking long into the night. I think I'm gonna stab him.
Do you reckon?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Because I really want to go for a strangle, but it's not one of the options. if I stab him, but alternately strangle him between the stabs, would that get me right? When, therefore, Hans the Hedgehog came riding thither, they all pressed forward against him with their pikes. But he spurred the cock, and it flew up over the gate in front of the king's window and lighted there. And Hans,
good on the cock. I know. Because even some twats put some bits of iron on the bottom of his feet, haven't they?
But he's really still easy. Flying in the way that all cocks can't, actually. So he's done incredibly well.
At waist level.
So he flies up to the window, lights there, and Hans cried that the king must give him what he had promised, or he would take both his life and his daughter's.
Ooh.
And that's classic. That's classic fairy tale, isn't it? It's just the wager being sort of what you owe being asked for in pretty extreme terms. Then the king began to speak to his daughter Fair, and to beg her to go away with Hans in order to save her own life and her father's. So she dressed herself in white, and her father gave her a carriage with 6 horses and magnificent attendants, together with gold and possessions. She seated herself in the carriage and placed Hans the Hedgehog beside her with the cock and the bagpipes. Bit of a gooseberry at this point, isn't it, the cock?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we imagining that the half hedgehog, half man is the size of a hedgehog or the size of a man?
Fuck. Or is the man bit the fin the size of a man, but the hedgehog bit the size of a hedgehog? In which case, there's a really quick tapering that has to happen.
He can ride on the cock, right? So he must be small.
Also, what's the orientation of the top half? I mean, is it facing?
Yes, that's a good one.
Right angles to the legs, or is it straight up? Is he just looking at the sky?
Would he consider it sort of be L shaped?
Yeah.
And also, what trouser size is he going with? Is it his human waist or his hedgehog waist? Because he'll have to have 2 waists, won't he?
He'll have 2 waists.
He'll have 2 waists.
That's the only thing we can be certain of.
I suppose it wasn't called Hands with 2 Waists. Who's befuddled all the tailors in the kingdom. We cannot make trousers for this guy.
Until the tailor's daughter came. Sweet-natured and beautiful.
So she seated herself in the carriage, placed Hands there, the cock's there, the bagpipes are there, and then they took leave and drove away, and the king thought he should never see her again. He was, however, deceived in his expectation. For when they were at a short distance from the town, this bit isn't very nice, Hans the Hedgehog took her pretty clothes off and pierced her with his hedgehog skin until she bled all over.
Hans!
Come on, mate.
I mean, there's anti-hero and there's just dick. Oh, that is the reward of your falseness, said he. Go your way. I will not have you. And on that, he chased her home again, and she was disgraced for the rest of her life.
Oh. Blimey.
Yeah.
But it's not really her fault, is it?
It's not her fault. It's the father. It's the father. Absolutely, he should be getting pricked to hell and back.
Yeah.
The sexual politics are not great in these tales.
No.
A lot of the time. Right. Hans the Hedgehog, however, rode on further on the cog. With his bagpipes, yes, all right, fine. To the dominions of the second king, to whom he had shown the way. This one, however, had arranged that if anyone resembling Hans the Hedgehog should come by, they were to present arms, give him safe conduct, cry long life to him, and lead him to the royal palace.
Much better.
Much, much better, people. But when the king's daughter saw him, she was terrified, for he looked quite too strange. So which side of him is porcupine again?
Top half is hedgehog.
Top half is hedgehog.
Waist and above.
She should have thought it was weird that all his Tinder photos were from the waist down.
Belt and below is boy, higher than the hips, hog. That's how you remember it.
But there's no rhyming?
No.
No. So you just remember it by knowing it?
Yes.
There was a bit of alliteration.
Oh, there's a bit of alliteration. Oh, thanks a lot, mate. Yeah, cheers. Thanks for alliteration. Fucking hell. Draw a thank you note. Right. She remembered, however, that she could not change her mind, for she had given her promise to her father. It's all these different promises. So Hans the Hedgehog was welcomed by her and married to her and had to go with her to the royal table, and she seated herself by his side and they ate and drank. When the evening came and they wanted to go to sleep, she was afraid of his quills, but he told her she was not to fear, for no harm would befall her. And he told the old king that he was to appoint 4 men to watch by the door of the chamber and light a great fire, and when he entered the room and was about to get into bed, he would creep out of his hedgehog's skin and leave it lying there by the bedside, and that the men were to run nimbly to it, throw it in the fire, and stay by it until it was consumed.
Leaving him with no skin.
A bloody...
A sort of flayed...
Flayed.
Degloved
wailing.
Oh, God.
Dear me.
You know,
who's ready for some love making?
Oh, yeah! Just don't touch any part of my body. Because it really fucking hurts.
And no salt under any circumstances.
No salt.
Please wash your hands, because I did see you eating some salty onion rings earlier on, and if even that will be agony, please.
And you did say that in your Tinder profile that one of your sex things that was that you were into salt play. I'm afraid that we can't do any of the salt play. And also that, also you like that thing about that you said you like doing a role play where there's an explosion in a vinegar factory. We also can't do that. But I've got a similar fantasy about a soothing Baal workshop where you run into a man.
Some very sterile cling film you're going into.
Oh.
Temperature controlled environment.
Oh, antiseptic, baby. Anyway, when the clock struck 11, he went into the chamber, stripped off the hedgehog's skin, and left it lying by the bed. Then came the men and fetched it swiftly and threw it in the fire. And when the fire had consumed it, he was delivered and lay there in bed in human form and was a handsome young man.
Oh.
When the king's daughter saw that, she was glad. And the next morning they arose joyfully, ate and drank, and then the marriage was properly solemnized. Yeah. But I ain't no hedgehog anymore, but I do insist I do have to stay on the shod cock throughout the love make and playing the bagpipes.
And I will be eating slugs and flies throughout.
I've still got the hedgehog digestive system.
I'm absolutely riddled with parasites.
Absolutely riddled. But lucky, it'd be fine if you catch something, just take an antibiotic. Hang on a minute. Hans the Hedgehog received the kingdom from the aged king. When several years had passed, he went with his wife to his father and said that he was his son.
Hang on, say that again. He went with his wife.
So when several years had passed, father. He went with his wife to his father and said that he was his son. Which Mike pointed out earlier, he said he wouldn't do, and he'd already said he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So he's not keeping his... I suppose he hadn't written them down as a promise. The father, however, declared he had no son. He'd never had but one, and he'd been born like a hedgehog with spikes and had gone forth into the world. Then Hans made himself known, and the old father rejoiced and went with him to his kingdom. Now, that's the end of the story, but...
Blimey, he got away with that, didn't he, all right?
What, the father?
Hans has shown a great capacity for forgiveness there. He's not taking his mother.
That's true.
I guess his mother was the one who cast him off by the stove anyway.
Was it?
Sorry, I know you said it was the end of the story. We do have to then add the line.
Oh, sorry, yes.
And then sparrows took their eyes.
And then sparrows took all of their eyes. And just for clarity, that's 8 eyes. It's Hans' eyes. Yep. It's his wife's
it's Mrs.
eyes.
Hedgehog.
It's Mrs. Hedgehog's eyes. Also the
Papa
cock's
Hedgehog,
eyes.
The cock.
Yeah. The cock's eyes. And
thousands of hogs.
And thousands of dead hog eyes were also taken. So it was just Imageddon. No, but actually, you know what? Funnily, Funnily enough, this tale. So some of the tales have these quirky details in them that have just persisted, and I don't know why. There'll be some reason for it. This tale actually has a little three-line coda at the end, which is, "My tale is done, and away it has run to little Augusta's house."
Oh.
No idea what that means. Maybe maybe someone can email. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I think listener-wise, we'll definitely have someone who's like a folklore expert or something. Yeah. I'd love some kind of context about what that was actually about and why.
Hans the Hedgehog.
Yeah, why that was written and what do we learn from that?
Yeah.
We've definitely learned that, like, what word is bond, right? If you,
that's a big one.
Because it's gone well for everyone who stuck to their word with the bond, didn't they?
Yes.
Because the people who stuck to it got a nice marriage. Everyone was sexy in the end and had a good heir and they had a lot of money and kingdom. You usually get a kingdom and a decent spouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But also that must have been massively important, I guess. Word is bond as a message. Mm. Because basically the fact is, word actually isn't bond. You could get away with fucking anything in those days. You could say you were the Pope, and no one could prove anything about anyone. Yeah. So the fact is, you could utterly con people and fake your identity so easily, and just say you were God if you wanted.
Yeah,
you could say, "Oh, by the way, I'm donkey, but from the from my knees to my ankles." But
I can never show you because an enchanted cock once told me that if I took my trousers off, my kids would die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess to counterbalance that fact, they would have, this is a kind of propaganda. It's basically, as Ben says, instead of the three numbers on your credit card, to get people to like, and I guess the way to do that is to threaten heinous consequences.
Extraordinarily heinous consequences.
Really, really, if you don't hold your bond.
Because the dad does terrible things, but none of it's to do with contracts.
Yeah.
But also, isn't it, Mike, like keep your word. Your word is bond, but do respect your dad, even if he's awful.
Do respect your dad, even if he's a complete pillock.
Yeah.
Because the dad has had a very strange story. I mean, the reason he wanted a kid in the first place is just because his mates were taking the piss out of him.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
That's true. It was peer pressure.
He wasn't particularly bothered about it in the first place. Makes an offhand remark about a hedgehog. Down we go. Gives up on him.
Yeah.
Gets rid of him. His son treats him really well. Brings swine for him to, and it's those same mates to kill. Goes away again. Comes back. Brings him. Gets him he's got a sweet little pad in the palace. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But none of his crimes were in contract law.
No.
No.
I guess if you're a father, you can sort of do what you can be a horrible dad. Yeah, that's sort of allowed, essentially.
See all look
out. You didn't get punished for it.
Yeah.
But if people weren't going to keep contracts, the whole society would fall apart.
Yeah.
But also, there's much worse punishments in other tales for contract breaking. I mean, it's so common in them. There was one I read, I think it's called The Goose Girl. Maybe we'll do it another time. Mm. Basically, there's a trick they do in a few of the tales where you've identified the person who's done something wrong. It's quite often a woman. And this woman has... It's a story where a king sends his princess daughter off to go and get married in another kingdom or something. She goes with the servant. And the servant girl ends up pretending she's the princess. Okay. The servant girl, they get to the next kingdom and I don't know how she does gets away with it. It's probably an enchanted sort of grape or something involved, but they get to
which she wears,
which she wears. But then they get to the next kingdom, and the servant is pretending that she's the. So the servant marries the king's daughter, the king's son, and eventually the deceit is exposed at this big banquet, probably at the marriage banquet, probably at the end of the story. And then this happens in a few of the stories where the king knows now. The falsehood that's been committed, that his son is marrying the wrong woman. And she says to the bride, who's the nasty servant, if someone was to pretend to not be who they were and was about to marry my son, what sort of punishment do you reckon, you know, would be the right one to mete out? What would be the right kind of punishment to mete out in that situation? And she goes, now what she should have said is, give them 2,000 florins.
And the benefit of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt. But instead she goes, You know what I'd do if that happened to that person? I would get a barrel with loads and loads of spikes on the inside, put them in that barrel, and then have it dragged through the streets of the kingdom by horses until they were dead. Wrong answer. Because then, verily, she has chosen her own punishment. But that's, you know, but that's classic. It's just, yeah, if you break your word, break your bond, yeah, do, yeah. Essentially, yeah. But I suppose it's because there is very little real deterrent.
Yeah.
Because actually, so they need these tales to just propagandify people.
There's no serious fraud office.
No serious fraud office. No.
Yeah. Well, that was fantastic, Henry. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was good stuff.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's a good one. There are so many things. Grimm's fairy tales, there are hundreds of them. It's massive. And they're almost none of them.
Name like a dozen or something.
Yeah, exactly. There are loads of brilliantly macabre and weird. Ugh. And they're often quite appalling and, you know, but that's certainly very interesting.
Good fun.
And yeah, I don't think we've got time for mine and Mike's, but I think
we shall return.
We shall return to this format.
We'll come back to And Then Sparrows Took Their Eyes.
See you next time.
There's always more eyes.
And a hungry sparrow with a grudge.